This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we continue right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Everyone knows Lane Johnson, the fourth pick in the 2013 NFL Draft out of Oklahoma, the two-time Pro Bowler now with the Philadelphia Eagles, one of the better offensive linemen in the game, and does have a Super Bowl ring on his finger as well. But before the Eagles in Oklahoma, there was Lane Johnson at Kilgore College, where he was actually a quarterback, believe it or not. And Lane Johnson is now doing something that is absolutely spectacular, and he's giving back to Kilgore College as he's donating $500,000 to build the Lane, which will be an athletic performance center at Kilgore College. And Lane Johnson is my guest right now to talk about it on CBS Sports Radio. Lane, congratulations. Thank you for the time, and how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, take me through the decision first off. We all know Kilgore College means a lot to you in your journey from a quarterback to a tight end, and then eventually a little bit of a defensive lineman turning into an offensive tackle. Why was it so important to give back to Kilgore College?
I think that's really what it's all about. I just wanted to inspire the group of kids that are there now and the future generations that'll be there. Just to give them something they can be proud of. And really, I just wanted to get back to the coaches and the people that helped me get to where I'm at today. So it was kind of the whole idea. It's been in the works for a few years, but finally sat down and got it planned this off season and got it made, man. So it's just a dream come true.
Is it a little surreal looking back at the journey? Because you were once a quarterback at Kilgore College. People were telling you, hey, you're from a small town. You're never going to make it to the NFL. And now you sit back and you've accomplished so much success professionally. Do you appreciate that a lot more coming from a situation where so many people told you you couldn't do something a long time ago?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You said people were telling you. And that's one thing. I tried to listen to all them. Because a lot of guys, they want to diminish your confidence so they can feel better about themselves. So I try to keep everything in perspective, my career, just, you know, what it's all about. And so I see the world for what it is. I mean, it's pretty kind of vindictive place. Guys are always trying to up one another, but really my whole goal was to get back to the people that helped me, and that's really it. And try to do that more in the future, as I continue my career. So that's kind of the goal for me.
We talk about the mental struggles early, and I was reading an article earlier today on the Eagles website, and we were documenting how, I'll say once again, people said you're from a small town, you can't make it, and eventually you overcame those obstacles, and when you lost that mindset, you're in such a great place. When was the moment that you lost the mental struggles and everyone was doubting you? When was that moment that you said, damn, I could really make this and make this dream of becoming an NFL player a reality?
Really, as far as the mental struggles, they continue to this day. I mean, it's something that never goes away. I think it's a good motivating factor to get you where you're at, but, you know, don't let that, you know, kill your dreams. So, yeah, man, I mean, it was really hard. I mean, going, changing positions, but I kind of knew that going into college that I wasn't going to be playing quarterback forever. And when I got to Oklahoma, you know, that was really a shell shock for me because the competition was so much better than I'd ever been a part of. And, you know, got kicked in the ground lots of times, been embarrassed. So really it was just all part of the equation and just learned to enjoy it, on the way up. But really, yeah, it was kind of a fast roller coaster the last few years of when I was at Oklahoma. I switched offensive tackle the previous spring before my junior year and then played right tackle that year and then played left my senior year and ended up getting drafted to the Eagles and really just been trying to get better ever since. And so that's really been it, man. It's been a lot of fun.
If you didn't make that move to offensive line, what do you think Lane Johnson would be doing today?
I'd probably be doing something to help people, to help younger guys. I mean, that's kind of always been in my heart. I love helping people. I love being around people. And so that'd be something I'd be doing, maybe coaching possibly.
Lane Johnson here with us on CBS Sports Radio, the two-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion from the Philadelphia Eagles. He's donating $500,000 to build the Lane, which will be an athletic performance center at Kilgore College. I know you said that long-term you knew if you were going to get to the league, quarterbacking wouldn't be the way. How were you as a quarterback? How do you scout yourself going back to Kilgore College?
I was terrible at Kilgore. I didn't have a good performance. I mean, I think that's what stats for. People can make their own conclusions on that. But, yeah, I was absolutely terrible. But in high school, I was pretty good. I was just a good athlete. So that's really, really it. I think a lot of colleges, actually, when they recruit people, that they look for just good athletes and, you know, knowing that they'll grow in college and become something different. And then, but basically, it's kind of it, man. I never thought I'd be playing tackle in the league, but it's just kind of where it landed. And, it's been crazy.
I appreciate your honesty in saying that you weren't a great college quarterback, but have you ever, you know, we always look at the Philly special with the Trey Burden pass to Nick Foles. Have you ever tried to advocate for a pass to Doug Peterson?
Yeah, I mean, I've been involved in some plays that were never ran the game, but they were there. So it's been the works, but maybe it'll happen one day. So see what happens.
Well, we'll be on the lookout for that, and maybe we'll go back to this conversation if you do end up throwing a ball in an NFL game. Let me ask you about a former teammate of yours, in Chris Long. We all know what he's meant to the National Football League, what type of player he was, both on and off the field. You were extremely close with him. There was that feeling that he was coming back, then not coming back. Now we know he's retiring. Can you just reflect on that relationship with Chris that you had?
Yeah, man, just really, really a good person when it comes down to it. You know, forget the career, forget what he's done or what he's doing. He's just, you know, genuinely a good dude. And I think it's one thing a lot of people are going to miss about him and kind of why we want him back, just because he was so good for our team. You know, both, you know, what he did on the field, but just really off the field. He kind of held everybody together with his personality and his demeanor and kind of his perspective for everything. So, yeah, man, I think Chris is, you know, he's in a good place now. He's happy. You know, he's got a young son, Waylon, and so I think he's going to make that transition. And really, man, I think he's figuring out what life's all about. You know, I think it's all about giving and helping others. And, he's started some stuff a few years ago with his organization, so I think he's just going to keep on doing that and keep moving forward.
There's no doubt about it. Good football player, better person, talking about Chris Long. I also heard him do an interview the other day with Dan Patrick, and he's talking about should players be allowed to smoke marijuana, and he's been very vocal about that since retiring. You go through the challenges of being an NFL player, the physical challenges and the mental challenges like we talked about earlier. What's your stance on the NFL maybe one day eventually allowing players to smoke marijuana?
I think to keep an open mind. I think whenever you have a closed mind and you don't want to, I guess, investigate some stuff that may be helpful, then, you know, it'll never be helpful. So that's kind of my whole two cents on it. I think just let science run its course. I think it's what science is for. And, you know, if it's good, it's good. If it's not, it's not. And ultimately, I guess the people in higher power will decide what's good for the players, and hopefully they'll do that.
A few more with Lane Johnson here with us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I saw you took to Twitter last night after the Bucks-Raptors game when there was a shot of David Bakhtiari, the offensive lineman for the Packers, chugging a beer and then challenging his quarterback to do so as well. Aaron not as successful as Dave. It seems like maybe you and Carson Wentz will team up and challenge Aaron and Dave to a little beer chug-off?
Yeah, well, you know, the whole goal of drinking a beer is to get intoxicated. You can drink it fast, you can drink it slow, but what's the whole goal of drinking a beer? You know, I'm trying to feel good. I don't really care who drinks it fast or not. So maybe we can see who gets the most intoxicated and makes the biggest fool out of himself.
Maybe you can put it on Periscope. I think a lot of fans would like to see that.
Maybe we can put it on Periscope for the fans.
Talking about Carson, there's been a lot of criticism about number 11, and I think a lot of people are forgetting how good he was before the injuries. In that season, you guys did go to the Super Bowl. He played a big role in the regular season and could have won the MVP of the league if he didn't get hurt. What are you expecting out of your quarterback this year?
I'm expecting big things. I think, you know, part of the NFL season, or you know, part of just being in the NFL, is a journey. Every year is different. And so if people wound your back or try to throw you in the dirt, just kind of remember that and use it as fuel. I think it's a good motivating factor. But, you know, really, it's a lot of fun. I think he's found beauty in the struggle with the rehab and all that stuff. And, I think it'll just continue to grow him as a player and as a person, and that's what I've been seeing this offseason.
After you guys won the Super Bowl, it came from the top with Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, and even Doug Peterson. The organization talked about making this a regular thing, going deep into the playoffs. Last year, a little bit of a rocky season, but you guys pulled together and you almost got back to the NFC title game. When you look at this group this year, and there's been a lot of acquisitions and there's a lot of positive momentum building with this group, do you have a feeling that this could be a group that could maybe go out there and win a Super Bowl again?
Well, most definitely. I mean, that's the goal out of every season. You know, I think a lot of people say that, but do they really believe it? I think we believe it. Even as bad as last year got, I think if you turn the table and a lot of guys lose their starting quarterback and lose half of their secondary, if not all their secondary, we'll see what they'll do. So it just goes as a testament to kind of our will to win. I think our will's there. It's just, you know, with every season, you have to have a little luck with injuries, and that's really it. I mean, and as far as the Super Bowl, I think everybody puts, you know, that's the ultimate eclipse of what football's about. Yeah, it's a very good accomplishment, but, you know, ever since winning that ring, I've never wore it. I mean, that's not the end of the point. The whole point is to kind of enjoy with the team, and that's really all you're going to have when it's all over with. And, I mean, that's something I try to keep in perspective, kind of what it's all about. And so, yeah, man, we're excited and looking for a big year.
Since it was a new feeling last year, the franchise's first ever Super Bowl, did you believe in any Super Bowl hangover? Did you feel like there was any Super Bowl hangover?
Well, I think ultimately there's a relief factor. Whenever you win something or overcome an obstacle that you never have, there's a, you know, a human factor to kind of say, take a breath and sit back and say, I made it. So, you know, it was all a learning experience. And, you know, we've been humbled. I got humbled. A lot of people got humbled, but that's part of the experience. And we learned that. And, you know, I think moving forward, we'll use that to our advantage.
I saw in Two More with Lane Johnson, who's kind enough to give us some time on CBS Sports Radio, I saw you weren't at voluntary OTAs the other day. Was it just you exercising your right not to go, or is there something more behind that?
Oh, there's nothing behind it. See, the conception is that I'm not working. So my whole goal is to be the best I can be coming week one. And so I'm doing that, and that's really it. I think the perception is that you're skipping or you're missing because you don't want to be in it with the team or you have hatred towards the team, but that's not it. I think everybody has different things as far as in the offseason. A lot of us are recovering because, as far as, you know, if I'm being honest, I played with a, you know, partially torn MCL and a high ankle sprain on my left leg. So really, I was playing the whole season with one leg. And at the end of the day, it's not an excuse. It's part of the game. So my whole goal is to recover the best I can so I can be the best I can for my team.
So that's it. You're right. When you don't show up to voluntary OTAs, it creates a lot of conversation and a perception about people. But a veteran like yourself, you know how to get your body ready. So take us through what you're doing right now to get prepared for that season and the work that you're putting in.
Well, if I'm being honest, I mean, I've hired a trainer full-time. I go there, I put in work every day. When I go home, I'm a family man. I have three kids, so most time I go home and I just got a new deck built on my back porch, and that's where I have my sanctuary. I get out there and I'll stretch and roll out and lift and have my kids right there the whole step of the way. So, you know, a lot of it's, you know, being involved into a family man, and not just being a, you know, a sports star or whatever they call it. But yeah, that's really it. I mean, I try to spend as much time with the kids, and I mean, just like with everybody, everybody has their jobs and different places, you know, that they have to go. But, you know, one of my priorities is to be a good family man to the people that love me. So that's been it.
That's absolutely awesome. Last one for Lane Johnson. He's been great with us on CBS Sports Radio. I have to take you back to a few weeks ago. We had Donovan McNabb on this show, and he was talking about Carson Wentz and how if he doesn't get back to the NFC title game in the next 2 years, the Eagles are going to have to start looking for a different quarterback in the draft. You took to Twitter. You had the snakes emoji, and you also said now you wonder why nobody respects you when you come on back. Why did those comments from Donovan really stick with you and annoy you a little bit? And take us through on how you look back at that.
I mean, if not respecting, maybe I shouldn't have done it. But since I did, I think my whole thing was is that it doesn't matter how many things you've accomplished in football. You can be a 6-time Pro Bowler, you could be a 18-time Pro Bowler. It really doesn't matter if you treated people not very good throughout your whole journey. So it's not to throw shade at him. You know, a lot of things that I'm saying to him, you know, I'm saying to myself. I try to keep my ego in check and just try to stay humble, try to stay with humility, and that's really it. That's one thing I've learned. I've just seen that hate breeds more hate, and it's not that, you know, obviously it's a job. He can say that. I know it's part of the thing, but it's a whole lot different when you see a person that's around the building and you can kind of see a lot of things without a person having to say anything at all. So that's my two cents on it. And I wish him nothing but the best moving forward. I mean, he was a tremendous player. I mean, obviously, probably the best quarterback that's ever played in Eagles history. But, you know, I just want him to be happy. That's really it when it comes down to it.
For you personally, you have been through a lot in your journey, like we're talking about. And even in the league, you had some off-the-field incidents as well. How is Lane Johnson different now compared to in previous years?
One thing I learned is that people talk. That's what they do. It's as this full of terms. Day by day, people talk. People like to belittle and spread rumors, and I mean, just really talking. You can't stop it, but and you know, letting people's conversations destroy my happiness. I kind of learned to kind of be desensitized to that and really focus on my goals. Because if you get caught up in a lot of other stuff, you'll realize that it's just distracting you from your goals. So, yeah, I've had. Two PED suspensions. I've learned that. I've been humiliated. I've been thrown in the dirt. But one thing I learned is that the days, they keep coming. And so if you keep sulking, I mean, nothing really good comes from it. So people can make up, you know, whatever story they want about me. I can't change anything in the past. All I can do is be the best, you know, player I can in the future. So that's really it. So moving forward, that's where I'm at.
Well, hey, we appreciate the time, and once again, congratulations, as we want to point out once again that Lane's donating $500,000 to build the Lane, which will be an athletic performance center giving back to Kilgore College. Lane, thank you so much for coming on. We can't thank you enough.
Yep, thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.